Hi, this is Tim Murtaugh, and welcome to the Line Drive podcast. I'm going to be by myself this week, which is just as well. Sonny Joy Nelson and Hogan Gidley are enjoying the Christmas break between Christmas and New Year's with their friends and family, and I'm here with you. It's just as well, because I've got something that is really related just to me and something that I've done that I'd like to talk to you about, and I really appreciate it. And first, I'd like to ask you to like and follow and subscribe and do all those important things to keep this podcast going and keep it growing. And I really appreciate that. And now on to something that I think is very important to me. And I'm going to share it with you, because this is the Line Drive podcast. So this is the thing. I have written a book. And it's about my life in politics, but it's also about the fact that I have a history of being a pretty bad, pretty raging alcoholic. And I spent decades of my life being unable to control what it was that I drank and my behavior when I did. And so I've written a book about it. It's half about that, and it's half about my life in politics. And primarily, the political part is primarily about the 2 years that I spent as communications director on the Trump campaign. The book is called Swing Hard in Case You Hit It, My Escape from Addiction and Shot at Redemption on the Trump Campaign. It's published by Bombardier Books, an imprint of Post Hill Press. I'm very appreciative of their attention and efforts. And naturally, I didn't want to publish the book by myself. And so I'm grateful that I found a publisher who was able to do that. I think maybe a good way to go through this, just to give you a flavor of it, is to maybe I'll read the preface, and then talk about some particular aspects of it and why it was that I wrote this book and some different things that are contained in it. I should point out that it is right now available for pre-sale on Amazon.com. You can search for my name, which is Tim Murtaugh, Murtaugh. You can find the spelling of my name on the description of this podcast, I'm sure. Or you can search for the title, which is easy enough. Just search for the first part, Swing Hard, in case you hit it. And maybe I'll just read the preface here, which would explain, I think, a lot of what it is that I'm trying to get at with this book. So here we go. This is the preface to the book. This is the way that it begins. This book will probably be like any other you've read by someone in politics. It has some stories from inside the Trump 2020 presidential reelection campaign, but it's not totally about that race, or Donald J. Trump for that matter. It's about the path that I took, starting early in life, and the poor choices that I made that eventually threatened to ruin everything I tried to achieve over my first 45 years on this planet. It's about going to jail twice because I couldn't stop guzzling alcohol. And it's about very nearly losing my loving wife, my career, and all my self-respect, and still somehow recovering to hold a prominent job for the President of the United States less than 4 years later. It's also about some of my political life after I quit drinking. In the following pages, you'll read about some of my experiences as the communications director for the Trump 2020 campaign, some good and some bad. But unlike a lot of political books of this era, it won't be about bashing Donald Trump or making headlines by spilling juicy gossip. I am proud to have worked for President Trump and proud to have run comms on his reelection campaign. To have been trusted with that responsibility remains the highest honor of my professional career. But that's not to say that all the campaign stories contained herein are happy ones. Far from it, in fact. So this is a redemption story, I suppose, although according to many people on Twitter, I am well beyond hope for that because I worked for Trump. But it's also a story about someone, me, who had to be battered about the head with the same lessons over and over and over until one day they finally registered when I was faced with no other choice. So redemption, yes, but it took an awfully long time, and at least professionally, it wasn't exactly the perfect ending. Either way, while writing the first draft of the manuscript for this book, I marked 8 years since my last drink. And in fact, this is an aside, this is not part of the preface. And in fact, it's been about a month longer than 8.5 years as I record this podcast since I took my last drink. And the date of my last drink was May 16th, 2015. It's also a cautionary tale, returning to the preface, because I bet there are many people, in politics or not, who can read my story and see much of themselves in the ridiculous and self-sabotaging behavior in which I engaged for too many years. I know from my own experience that each time I was in rehab, yes, I went multiple times, I was a regular in the bookstore, buying and devouring all the titles that were more biographical than clinical. I much preferred reading about the real struggles that people experienced and how they made it through them, and I'm sure there are many other alcoholics who feel the same way. My incredibly helpful, dedicated, and forgiving wife first encouraged me to write a book of this nature several years ago. It always sounded like a good idea, although I never thought I'd really do it. She's a private person and doesn't relish these details becoming public, but at the same time, she knows that it's a story that can possibly help other people. She witnessed much of my personal war with alcohol, and I can state unequivocally and without exaggeration that without her in my life, I would either be in jail or dead today. I know that she suffered greatly as well and continues to be haunted by memories of how I used to be. A reminder that the people closest to active alcoholics often have it worse than the alcoholics themselves. It was an imperative that she be on board with my writing this book, and I think it's a good thing that she was, because I believe she turns out to be the hero of the story. In some ways, this book is a defense by offense move for me, because telling on myself in this way means that I've revealed it on my terms, and my past will no longer have the power that dark secrets sometimes have. I have consciously not included every episode that I might, because as alcoholics in recovery, we are not supposed to unburden ourselves of these things if there's the potential to hurt other people by bringing them up. I truly hope that reading about what I went through can help another alcoholic to get closer to being sober. I know that writing it all down for once certainly helped me to continue to avoid drinking one day at a time, because I was reminded of how farcical my whole existence once was. But I don't think that you have to be a drunk to appreciate the stories in here, or just shake your head. The way I decided to go about writing this book is with two different timelines, one during my drinking days and the other after I had dried out, which was less than 4 years before I joined the Trump campaign. This made sense to me because they were really two different lives, the drinking me versus the sober me. And the story alternates between the two with a little shot glass graphic noting my drinking status at the beginning of each chapter. And while I was writing, I tried to follow the advice my father always gave me before baseball practice. And he used to say, swing hard in case you hit it. And if you think about it, that's pretty good counsel for all aspects of life. And it's what I'm trying to do with this book. Anyway, here's my story. And that's the way that it opens up. That is the preface to Swing Hard in Case You Hit It, my escape from addiction and shot at redemption on the Trump campaign. It comes out on April 2nd, is released on April 2nd of 2024, although you can order it right now by going to Amazon.com or a lot of other online retailers like Walmart and Target, but let's focus on Amazon. Go to Amazon. You can search for my name. Again, it's Tim Murtaugh. You should know that because you're listening to this podcast. Or you can just search for the title, Swing Hard in Case You Hit It. I've been doing some media interviews to try to promote this. Excuse me for one second. Try to promote this book, and I've been doing that for about the last 3 weeks or so. And you know, it's half about politics, as I said, half about my experiences on the Trump campaign, and the other half is about my decades-long struggle and attempts and eventual success in trying to get quit alcohol and quit drinking alcohol. And why would I write this? You know, a lot of people focus on, I think understandably so, most of the questions and most of the reporters seem to care, most of the feedback I get seems to be focused on the alcohol part of the book, which is, I suppose, natural, because I think that is what actually makes it different from most every other political book that's out there. It's half about my experiences, mostly on the 2020 campaign, but it's largely about my dependence on alcohol and my efforts and finally succeeding in kicking it. And why would anybody write such a personal book as this? And I would say that overall, looking at it, I did it for two real reasons. One, as I mentioned in the preface, when I was in rehab, and I went to rehab five times, by my count. That's the five that I can recall and pinpoint. One time it was an outpatient situation where that's non-residential. You just go for a few hours a day or several days a week, those kinds of things. You don't live there. You go home at the end of the day. That's outpatient. After, like, say, a 3-hour session. And four times I went, I was inpatient. It's 28-day program, and you go and you live there and you just immerse yourself in recovering from your substance abuse addiction, your addiction and your substance abuse problem. Although one time when I went there, I left early. So I didn't, and all that is covered in the book and why I left early and how that worked out, which I'll give you a hint. It didn't work out very well. And I used to go into the bookstore all the time. And I like, this is covered in the preface, but I'm gonna go into a little bit more depth of it here. I read, of course, there's no television and no radio and no cell phones or anything like that. No outside entertainment of any kind, really, in the place that I went, which was, I went twice to a place called Father Martin's Ashley. It has since changed its name, but that when I was there, it's in Havre de Grace, Maryland, and a really, really lovely place. And when I was there, there's a bookstore, and you can go in there and buy some books, and there's a lot of spiritual things, and that place was founded by a Catholic priest. And so there's a lot of religious pieces as well that a lot of people pick up. And I think they're very helpful to a lot of people. But what I liked the best were the stories that were written by people who traced the stories of their own problems, their own path to recovery, and how they figured it all out. Those were what I wanted. That's what I wanted to read all the time. And that's what I think that's what I tried to write anyway. By coming out with this book, and I think I succeeded because, I mean, it's my story and it's all in there. And I think it's an interesting story because it's mine. And I guess we'll find out as the book is on sale, whether anybody else thinks that they're interesting as well. And the point is that I grabbed onto these things as, you know, being able to identify with someone else who had been through similar struggles that I was facing, similar to what I was facing. And in writing this, if I can help someone who is like me, still in rehab or needing to get to rehab, or thinking about being needing to get to rehab or anything close to it, if I can, or members of family who have loved ones who are experiencing these kinds of problems, if I can help somebody delay picking up a drink for even 10 minutes while they read part of the story, then it will have been worth writing it. And that is the person that I wrote this book for. It's basically someone like me in the rehab center trying to grab onto things, anything that might possibly help. And then I think the other reason, undeniably so, the other one is selfish. Undeniably, I wrote it because it wasn't very long after I got hired by President Trump and Brad Parscale, the campaign manager, on the Trump campaign in February of 2019, when I came on board. Almost immediately, I got some phone calls and I started to get some, and there were several that came in early on from reporters who had been fed what can only really be described as a dossier about me and about my police record, because I've got one. I have two DUIs on my record. The last one was in 2013. I also have a handful of arrests for other more minor alcohol-related offenses, like drunk in public, public intoxication, depending on what they call it in different jurisdictions. And so, yeah, I have a police record, and it took probably about 10 minutes for opposition researchers, whose job it is to dig up dirt on political opponents. We have them on the Republican side as well. But in this case, these guys decided that they were going to use their skills as researchers to go after me, a staffer, the communications director on the president's reelection campaign, because they thought it would hurt Donald Trump. I'm pretty sure they really had never heard of me before. They didn't have anything particularly against me. It didn't really matter to them, I'm sure. It's just that I was the communications director for the Trump campaign, and therefore they were going to try to hurt me in order to hurt the president's campaign. And I thought, if I wrote a book now, after the fact, that details my own story, then I will have taken it away from them. And no one will ever be able to threaten me with exposing my past again. If I have, like, in the future, if I ever get an email or a phone call from a reporter saying, hey, I have this information that you have all these alcohol-related arrests and I'm going to write a story about it, I'm going to say, well, as a matter of fact, you're correct about all of that. And in fact, I wrote a book about it. Here's a link. Please buy a copy. I think that's what I will do. So that's you know, the second reason. Take the power away from the opposition researchers and the people who oppose other people based on politics and try to do things and write and feed stories that destroy folks. And since I bring that up and trying to hurt the president at the time through attacking me, I'd like to point out that when I came to the Trump administration in 2019, I went to work for a fellow named Sonny Perdue, who was the Secretary of Agriculture. He ran the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and I was his communications director. And when I was meeting him for the first time, I sat down with him, and we went through a little interview. And during the course of it, I said, listen, I got to tell you something. If anybody does, and I think I knew that at the time that the position that I was being interviewed for came attached to it, came with a background, what's it called? A national security clearance, a top secret clearance. And so, of course, you have to undergo a background check for all of that. And they would immediately find all the police record stuff that I had, of course. So, you know, it was the obvious thing to do is to tell Sonny Perdue in advance. And his reaction was, well, you know, are you drinking today? Are you drinking now? And I said, no. And he said, well, then we're not going to have a problem. And on we went, and we never had to discuss it again. Then about 2 years later, in 2019, February of 2019, I was approached by some people in President Trump's administration and in his orbit to ask if I had any interest in going to work for the reelection campaign. And I told Brad Parscale that, of course, I was interested, and that there was something that they needed to know that I had already told Sonny Perdue 2 years earlier. And I got my security clearance, by the way. I passed the background check, even though those things were in there, because all they really care about is your honesty and whether or not you could be blackmailed over it. And if I was already telling them about it, then obviously I couldn't be blackmailed for it. So I told Brad Parscale the same thing, and he came back and he said he had run it past President Trump, and President Trump kind of shrugged his shoulders and said the same thing basically that Sonny Perdue had said, which is that, look, if he's good, he's good. Then that's fine. And I know that the president blames alcohol for the death of his brother, and the president also says that he himself has never taken a drink. But I also know that by my experiences with this, I know that President Trump likes a good redemption story. He likes a comeback story, and I think that's what this really is. And I think it's an important story to tell. I want to talk about the point in the book, and it happens early on. It's actually in the introduction. And the way that I've written it, as I said in the preface, is that it alternates between chapters of it. I've lived two different lives, basically. I've lived the drunk life that carried me from high school all the way up to 2015. I should point out that I'm 54 years old as I record this. Carried me up to 2015. Before I quit drinking, final drink on May 16th, 2015. And then the other half of the book is the political parts. And so it alternates chapters between the drunk me and the drinking me. And I thought that was an effective way to tell the story between the two different timelines. And so early on in the book, it describes sort of the seminal moment of what snapped me awake is that I woke up in jail. Rather, the more accurate way to say it is that I came to in jail. And I had been in jail before. I was there for both of my DUIs, and I served 5 days in jail for my first DUI conviction, and then I served 10 days in jail with 80 days suspended for my second DUI. And then I was on probation for 3 years, and if I ever got in trouble again during the course of those 3 years, then the suspended 80 days would come crashing down upon me, and I would have to serve that time. So I wake up in jail in May of 2015, and I'm looking around, and I realize that, boy, I've really done it this time, because I'm on probation. I have those 80 days of suspended time hanging above my head, and now I am in jail, arrested and charged with public intoxication again. And if I got convicted of that, those 80 days would kick in, and I would go to jail for almost 3 months. At the time, I was newly married, and my wife is extremely frustrated with me. I'd been drinking before we were married, of course, and then into the beginning of our marriage. And I was working for a member of Congress from Pennsylvania, a fellow named Lou Barletta, who's a great man and features prominently in this story that I tell in the book. And I realized, as I was sitting there in jail, that if I were convicted of this, that I'd go to jail and I would lose probably my wife, my family, very potentially, because they were a little bit fed up with me and my hijinks. at the time, and they were about at the end of my rope. I was going to lose my job with Congressman Barletta, and you know, forget about the job. I would lose my career if I got convicted of that and went away for 80 days because I would have violated probation with the conviction. My life as I knew it would effectively have been over. And so I knew that I needed to get out from under it right then. That was May 16th, 2015. I got a good lawyer who gave me some really good advice, and I had some time before the court date that I had to go to where I would have a real quick, you know, bench trial on that charge. And I went and did a whole bunch of volunteer hours at an animal shelter in Fairfax County, Virginia. I went to that outpatient rehab that I talked about, a place in Washington, D.C., several days a week for 3 hours a day to you know, learn further tools and learn skills to control my addiction. I had the ignition interlock device put on my car voluntarily. And I went to a ton of Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, and I had someone sign a little slip of piece of paper attesting to the fact that I had attended each meeting. And so I went to court finally, armed with all of those things, showing, I hoped, that the prosecutor, that I was taking everything extremely seriously. And thank God, the prosecutor said, all right, look, I appreciate what you've done here. We're not going to prosecute this drunken public charge, but I will tell you something. If I ever hear your name, if I ever see you on this docket, if you come into this courthouse, you know, practically, you know, heck, if you ever drive past the courthouse complex, then, you know, then we're going to have something else to talk about. And so I did not get convicted of that drunken public charge. I did not violate probation. I did not go to jail for 80 days. And since that day, May 16th, 2015, I have not taken another drink. And I got to tell you, my life, what they say about the promises of what happens to you when you quit drinking, they don't guarantee anything. But man, the promises sure came true in my case. My marriage survived. I have two young children, two boys, ages 5 and 7. They have never seen their father take a drink professionally. Quite obviously, it turned out okay because I went to I went from working for Lou Barletta to working for Secretary Sonny Perdue in the Trump administration, Secretary of Agriculture. And then I went to the communications director on the Trump reelection campaign. It was pretty amazing. And the professional side of the story tells a lot of stories that I don't believe have ever been told in public before. And I find them interesting. There are some things that involve Secretary Perdue, some stuff that went on at the White House with Secretary Perdue. I tell the inside story about Trump rallies. I talk about having to deal with the hostile media and how difficult that was, and all the different television hits that I went through, and for CNN and MSNBC and some of the network channels, and how aggressively hostile they were. And the fact that I would sit in the chair and they would, some of them, not all, but some of them would look at me like my very existence was offensive to them because of who I was working for and who I was there to represent. And that I was not a welcome member of society, and they were going to treat me that way. That's the way some of these cable hosts really approached me. Hostile media in the huge episode that involved trying to draw attention to Hunter Biden's laptop. What it was like getting ready for, arguing over, and then actually participating as staff, that is, with the presidential debates of 2020. Election Day, of course, and the aftermath leading up to January 6th, what happened on January 6th, what my reactions to that were. I think that people who blame President Trump for what happened at the Capitol are off base. I think the people who are responsible are the ones who committed violence and trespassed and damaged property that day. They're the ones. We live in a nation that was founded on the idea of individual responsibility. I don't see how you can say that someone else is responsible for the damage that those actual people did. I know people want certain leftists and people in the media, folks like Liz Cheney, want to point the finger at Donald Trump and not at the ones and hold the ones who actually did it responsible. I got subpoenaed. I went and talked to the January 6th Commission, and I go through the whole thing. It really is, I think it hits all the important parts, or at least the interesting parts, of the 2020 campaign. And I think it's stories that people would find interesting and have not heard before. And now, since I mentioned Hunter Biden's laptop, I want to talk a little bit about how I address Hunter in this book, and how I've talked about Hunter throughout the course of this. Quite clearly, Hunter Biden is an addict. He is, I take him at his word that he is in recovery, and I hope that he is. And I'm glad for him if that is the case, because I know what it's like to be addicted to a substance and have a substance control your every action, your every waking thought. I know what it's like. I feel empathy for Joe Biden because Hunter is his only remaining son. And, you know, I've lived through it like Hunter has, and my parents have had to deal with what I went through the same way Joe has, and it must be heartbreaking. And so for that, I have empathy and sympathy for both of them, Joe and Hunter Biden. But so I was very careful the whole time to this day. When I talk about Hunter Biden, I talk about things that we know that involve corruption. The fact that he was selling access to his powerful father in American government, his vice president at the time, selling access to foreign interests, placing himself at the mercy of these foreign interests, Hunter Biden was, and making himself the potential subject of blackmail attempts when his father was such a powerful member of the American public. It was ridiculously foolish, and it was corrupt, and the Biden family enriched itself by selling access to Joe. And they cynically pretended that Joe was not involved, even though he was the very product that they were selling. I think it undermines the national security of this country, quite obviously. So that's what I focus on. And I never sought to attack Hunter for his addictions and for his status of being addicted. And I hope that is able to come through that. It was not a terribly easy book to write, but I think it was an important one for me to write. Again, the title is Swing Hard In Case You Hit It, My Escape from Addiction and Shot at Redemption on the Trump Campaign. It's by through Bombardier Books, an imprint of Post Hill Press, and it comes out on April 2nd of 2024, although it is available for pre-order right now on Amazon.com, and I wish that you would pre-order it because I think it's an important story to tell. I would like for as many people to hear it as possible because, again, as I said, if it can help one person stay sober for an extra few minutes before they pick up a drink, then it will have been worth writing. Again, my name is Tim Murtaugh. I'm the author of the forthcoming book, Swing Hard In Case You Hit It, available for pre-order on Amazon.com right now. And I very much appreciate you. This sort of thing is exactly why I wanted to do a podcast in the first place. I appreciate the fact that you're willing to listen to this. And if you would like and subscribe and do all the things to keep this podcast growing, I would very much appreciate it because this is the Line Drive Podcast. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.